Busting Myths About the State and the Libertarian Alternative, written by Zach Rofer, narrated by Jim Vann. Preface. In non-technical terms, the libertarian is simply someone who is against the use of force against peaceful people in a civil society. You would think that this would be a universally accepted idea, but, as will be discussed in greater depth, to believe in government as we know it is to be at odds with this idea. The vast majority of people in the world today live under some form of publicly organized government, which hereinafter I'll call the state. Most liberals believe that we should live under state rule, whether they are classical liberals, communists, conservatives, fascists, liberals, Marxists, neoconservatives, progressives, Randians, socialists, or any other flavor, all of whom hereinafter I'll call statists. They simply differ in their views on what powers the state should possess. Nevertheless, statists of all flavors often react quite strongly to the suggestion by libertarians that a society without a state, operating on a purely free market voluntary basis, would be a more just and efficacious society. I believe that this reaction results from three categories of errors by statists. First, they don't fully comprehend the nature of the state. Second, they don't fully comprehend the nature of the free market. And third, they subscribe to certain myths about libertarianism and how a stateless society might work. That they make these errors is not surprising since, for the most part, their education has been in institutions where no one asks the question, what is the true nature of and justification for the state? And there is very little discussion about problems with and alternatives to the state. Given these defects in statists' understanding of this area of political philosophy, what I propose to do in this book is expose some common myths about both the state and libertarianism. Hopefully, this will facilitate a more critical view of the state and more openness to the ideas of libertarianism. Before going further, it's important to note that, in discussing how society should be organized and how individuals should interact with one another, there's a distinction between using utilitarian principles and moral principles. Utilitarianism is concerned with discerning what the correct decision should be based on what would maximize utility for society. To pursue this line of thinking, one has to accept that any particular human who is charged with making a specific societal decision is able to A. appreciate all the benefits and costs of each alternative course of action to each of the individuals who compose society, B. quantify each of these benefits and costs in terms of common units of utility, and then C. dispassionately choose the course of action that will maximize society's utility. On the other hand, morality is concerned with discerning what the correct decision should be based on a standard of good behavior. A standard means something that is universal, i.e. applies to every man. To pursue this line of thinking, one first has to conclude that there should be a universal behavioral rule. On this point, if we recognize that all men are metaphysically equal in the sense of possessing the same fundamental capacity for consciousness, conceiving, rationalizing, and acting, then there is no objective justification to define different rules of acceptable interpersonal behavior for different men. Every man should be expected to treat others and be entitled to be treated by others according to the same code. In addition, this line of thinking also requires one to be able to define an acceptable behavioral rule that, as a purely technical matter, could apply to everyone without exception, consistently and continuously. I will develop this further later. As will become evident in this book, a number of the common arguments raised by statists are utilitarian, as opposed to moral. While I believe the fundamental strength of libertarianism is its underlying morality, because it is based on a technically feasible, universal standard of acceptable behavior, and the fundamental weakness of statism is its underlying immorality, because it is inconsistent with the notion of a universal standard of acceptable behavior. Even on a utilitarian basis, I believe that libertarianism has much more to offer than statism. In any event, I will address the relevant statist arguments from both a moral and utilitarian perspective, for the latter chiefly through the medium of economic analysis, even though I believe that the moral argument should suffice. Finally, there are some upfront stylistic points that I should make. First, since in this book I am contrasting those who support the notion of a state with those who don't, I will be using libertarian to mean only someone who argues for a completely stateless society, as I do, also known as anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, libertarian anarchist, or Rothbardian. There are many people who would not argue for a stateless society, but who nevertheless label themselves, or get labeled by others, as libertarian. I am not referring to them in any way. In this book, they would be statists. Second, I appreciate that not all statists think alike. While those on the left, in the middle, and on the right are similarly weak on many issues, they are also differently weak on other issues. Accordingly, when I refer to the assumptions, beliefs, and arguments of statists, I always mean some statist, even though I will not always bother to use the word some. One purpose of this book is to lay out the precepts of statist thinking, not the thoughts of every or any particular statist. Third, I have avoided citing too many specific sources in an effort to try to create a more conversational tone. Instead, I've included a reading guide at the end, which references much of the source material that provided me with the foundations to write this book. That said, all errors, of course, are mine alone. Fourth, I would encourage you to read the footnotes, which generally contain additional substantive material or examples, as opposed to just dry source references. Sometimes that's where I have my most fun. It has brought me tremendous pleasure to research and write this book, and I can only hope that you, as the reader, derive at least a fraction of that pleasure from reading it. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to send me about this book, or any topics raised or not raised herein, please feel free to email me at thenapster3226@gmail.com. Zach Rofer, August 2018.